This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 17th of November, 1954. The title of this lecture is Background of Six Basic Steps. This lecture is 35 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now I know that you get an hour's lecture in the morning, those of you who are in college class. You get an hour's lecture in the morning, you get a demonstration by your instructor and so forth, and you get a little very short lecture on Route 1 and so forth in the afternoon. Now this is all to the good. Don't for a moment suppose I am departing. But as long as I am talking to you vis-a-vis, I may as well give you some small insight into the background of these processes. There's lots of reasons why. But there is actually a very, very sharp, you might say almost single reason why each one of these processes works as it does. Yesterday I talked to you something about elementary straight wire. You should realize that elementary straight wire does not mean remembering actual incidents. That's a shock to you, probably. Straight wire was called straight wire because the auditor is stringing a straight line between cause and effect. An elementary straight wire would apply to actual incidents only if an auditor were stringing straight wire into the past. If the auditor were simply stringing wire in some other direction, we would still be doing straight wire. I'm not changing the basic definitions on you here. But straight wire, it's just a word that is applied to the distance part of the communication formula. The communication formula is cause, distance, effect. All right, the straight wire is the distance. Now, we'll take this fellow who has communication difficulty. You try to string a straight wire to him. You say, "How are you?" He immediately puts it through several resistors, a couple of coils, bypasses it through several tubes, and comes out with, I wonder if you really care. See? Now that isn't straight wire. This isn't happened at all. He is completely short-circuited the conversation. This short-circuit in the conversational field is best done in the government. It is just wonderful at this. The populace says we want more food, clothing, shelter, better cooperation, better justice, and so forth. And the government says, "Well, we don't know, but we're passing a couple of laws." Now they then introduce 8 or 9 or 12 new arbitraries into how people will be hired or fired, under what circumstances, and then they whip up a big scheme called Social Security, and the next thing you know, why your workman looks at his paycheck and thinks he's only being paid $15 a week. This is not true. He's being paid $560 a week, but the government is getting $545 of it in order to have this Social Security, and that is not a straight line. The basic purpose of Social Security was so people wouldn't have to save up for their old age. And this makes it absolutely necessary that a person forego all possibility of even trying to get to old age. Naturally, he won't be able to make enough to get him there. So here we see that the introduction of arbitraries, laws, sudden opinions, and so forth along this straight line, this straight wire, gives it bypass circuits. So your communication with somebody with a long communication likes a whole bunch of vias. Via, 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 via. See? Now what the auditor's trying to do in elementary straight wire is string a straight wire. Necessary for you to understand that, to understand why opening procedure of 8C works. There is the preclear, there is the wall. The preclear motivates a contact with the wall and uncontacts with all. This is absolutely murder to these vias. See? But you will notice You're pretty clear. As he walks up to the wall, will at first begin to dramatize viz. That's the first thing you'll observe in running this. Now the technique, elementary straight wire, is a straight communication line within the thought patterns of the individual. You're trying to establish a straighter communication line in the actual thought patterns of the individual, whether these things are past, present, and future. You could do elementary straight wire on a basis of something you wouldn't mind remembering, something you wouldn't mind forgetting. You're getting get to actual incidents, you see. But you could do it just as well, not elementary straight wire, but you could do a straight wire like this. You could say, dream up a future. See, you're here in time, and the future is there in time. All right, now let's decide on the future. And the fellow goes, oh, someday I would like to be a fireman. You know, someday, that is not straight wire. That is a crooked wire, which is ending Lord knows where. It's ending in someday. No, a real straight wire is, if you could coax him up, would be to say, on August the 22nd, 1959, I intend to become a fireman. See? Now you've got cause, distance, effect through time. Time is a barrier. It's like anything else. So you say, I am here at this moment. Now I'm here at this moment. Go over that again. All right, now I say, I am here at this moment. Now I'm here at this moment. Nothing intervened, did it? There was no intervention of anything. I did not do anything in between. You could say then, here were two consecutive moments of time. We had a straight wire between two consecutive moments of time. I'm here. Well, let me give you a better one than that. I'll put a curve in this line. I am now. Now I'm now. Get the idea? Here's the barrier of time, meaning change. But it's a change of combinations of particles. A change of combinations of particles. Now, stupidity consists of this, not knowing when and not knowing where, and that is all there is to stupidity. You could dream up, for a change, effective intelligence tests, just on the basis of testing the person's knowingness as to where and when. And if you could dream these up in such a wise as to have them very specific questions, you would get a direct and immediate result in terms of intelligence. The fellow just doesn't know where something is, and he doesn't know when it is. Now, very often an auditor in running spotting spots or some advanced technique in advance or higher on the tone scale in straight wire will go through this fascinating thing. He'll where, and forget all about when. Now, having forgotten all about when, we have a tendency to give the preclear a jammed bank. The only thing that keeps a time track apart is knowing when. And when a person ceases to know when, it either goes completely off base or it ends up in a jam. There are many preclears around who are in a complete jam. Now let's get this real clean here. How is it that birth can be in restimulation? And what do we mean by restimulation? Birth can only be in restimulation if the person's knowingness of when has gone by the boards to some degree. You see, the whenness of the incident was, let us say, 20 years ago. And yet his whenness is so bad, as far as knowledge is concerned, that 20 years ago is now. Now, in view of the fact that the human body depends upon the physical universe change in time to give it a time track, we get in HC a tremendously effective process. We're saying to him, every moment it's being run, when is it? Now, of course. It's now. It's now, now. It's now. It's now. It's now. And his whenness has a tendency to straighten out. And we're liable to drop all sorts of things off the track and into their proper positions, simply because he becomes acquainted with now. At least he's acquainted with now. So he knows one when. And so his IQ will pick up and so forth. He knows a when. Present time is a when. Of course, every consecutive moment in the past has been a present time. At some time or another. You see, it doesn't matter where it is on the track. So the present time is a common denominator to all instants on the track. And simply saying to oneself, it is now present time, or to tell somebody, come up to present time without letting him look around, will, when a case is in fairly rough condition, wind your preclear up in a re-stimulation. He doesn't leave any place. You see, he just says, when? Well, it's 2 o'clock in 2962. That's what when. Or it's August on the back porch. Who knows, you see, it's when. Well, this can become a very, very upsetting unknown. And we find in Dianetics, advanced procedures and axioms, this axiom, time is a single aberration. This is perfectly true. With most people, it is the single aberration. Actually, awareness stems from time for most people. They say, let me see, when was this? Well, let's see, in 97 there was the blizzard. And so I know I was in Kokomo in 97. And actually I didn't go to Detroit until 98. And so therefore I must have lost my pipe yesterday. Of course, they could. Some adjudication like this could be expected of somebody who's maundering around about the blizzard of 97. But the auditor has a very effective weapon in these walls. He doesn't want to collapse them on the preclear, but he wants the preclear to locate them, because the position of these walls is the whenness of now. So at once we're stringing the individual's line to the whenness of now. And he finds that it is a very short line indeed. Touch the wall, he touches the wall. See? That's a short line, isn't it? Walk over to the wall, now touch the wall. He touches the wall. See what the whenness is? The moment he's in contact with the wall, why, that tells him when present time is. See, the whole joke is that there isn't any time. And therefore, it's very hard to establish unless it's established by postulate and consideration. You've known somebody who has run completely out of goals in life. He has no more dreams. He's lost his illusions. When they're about 17, they begin telling you they've lost their illusions. And they have no more dreams, goals. All is dead. All is dead. All is dead. Run for Congress. There's nothing more we can do in life now except become important. That's a very nebulous sort of goal. We have somebody then in the state of mind of all whens are now. The all whens are now, or all nows are when, or it's then, but that's really here, and so forth. And of course, this is my grandmother standing in front of me, bawling me out, when as a matter of fact, it's his secretary asking if she can have the afternoon off. See, it's just when. They're all out of location in time. This is a curious thing. When a person is all out of goals, dreams, and so forth, they run out of time track. Because the only way to get a time track is saying, there is time, there is time, there is time. The only way to get a future is by saying, there's a future, there is a future, there is a future. The only way to get a past is by saying, there's past, there's past, there is a past. You get the idea? That's an awfully hard, difficult point. Actually, it is sufficiently difficult that I have seen auditors in the advanced clinical course who very well knew this as point, worrying excessively over their own disorientation in time. You couldn't be disoriented in something that didn't exist, could you? That'd be impossible to be disoriented in nowhere. But if you thought there was a somewhere in nowhere, you of course could get disoriented, couldn't you? That would be the easiest thing you ever did in your life. If you thought there was a somewhere and there was actually a nowhere, and you expected this nowhere to tell you there was a somewhere, that would be a difficult thing for an individual to do and remain completely sane. Yet every human being around is doing that. They're saying, there is this thing called time. You see, it's right up there on the wall. And I am being told the time by that clock. The fact is, you couldn't possibly tell time by the clock unless you told the clock what time it was. Now, the test of auditing is the processing. The test of theory is the workability. If we can get somebody to postulating time, well, that's just dandy. Well, actually, there is a straight wire process which simply gets an individual to postulate whens. There is one. It's a fairly high echelon process, but it still works all up and down the line. It's not bad. But we have a terrifically, arduously, horribly direct thing called the opening procedure of AC. And this solves at once the question of when. We get him to go over and touch the wall with his finger. And this is a source of great satisfaction to him. He now knows when it is. It's now. It's never been other than now, any time on the whole track for 74 trillion years, unless he said so. But you've made this guy go over and recognize and say it is now, now. I've had a pre-clear pounding on a wall, just pounding on the wall. Now, what do you learn from having struck it three times? Come on, what's the difference amongst those three blows? Well, the first one was a little lighter. How did you know there was a first one? I counted them. No, come on. let's do this again. Come on, now what's the difference amongst those three blows? The second one was harder. How did you know there was a second one? He's lost already on counting them. And sometimes after you've done this for a couple of hours with a freaker who's having a real rough time, he will suddenly say, they are in different moments of time. Different moments of time. Now that is the difference in those three blows. And now. Now we've got three nows. How do we know they're different? By remembering them. Well, how do you remember? Well, you simply say there were three nows. Complicated, isn't it? Now, people set this up on automatic, and so they spin themselves a tremendous web of when. See, they set the walls up automatic and everything else automatic, and, you know, and they're going to be told when it is. They've been told. Impact told them. They know that they were young some time ago because mother slapped them. They know that when. See, they can locate it with a where. You'll find present time all over the track for most frequencies. This is essentially what makes maps, the loss of wind. Jam, present time. Now, most people, in looking at the engram bank, think the engram bank is stretched back across something. They think it's spotted around in locations. It is not. It's spotted around in considerations. And they're nowhere. Now, there's where the time track is. Where is the time track? It's a misnomer. It isn't any place, except in a consecutive series of whens. For when the individual ceases to declare when and issue bulls or bulletins or something as to the effect that it is now, now, now it's now, now it's now, now it is now, now it is now, now it is now. The wall over there, he thinks, will go on saying to him, now it's now, now it's now, and you know that wall can't talk. But this pre-clear has agreed upon a certain pattern and motion of particles. He's agreed with many others upon the pattern and motion of particles, and this agreement alone holds him in an area called present time. But he has put something on automatic if he's being held there without any consent of his own, isn't he? He must be running on an automaticity. Present time, then, is a sort of an automaticity. You start doing HC, and the person starts to run out the automaticity. He starts to take over, and every time he walks over to the wall, he, by contact, is saying, it's now. He walks over to the wall again, he said, it's now. You know, just by touching it, he isn't verbalizing. And non-verbalizing of this brings him into a sequence of things that he actually is touching the wall and then remembering that he touched it, so that now he has a when, and now he has a past. Time is a very hard thing to talk to people about, simply because there isn't much to it. People know that time is important. If you were ever in a dental chair, you know full well that time was very important. The time when you would be out of that chair was the most important moment on earth. But before you went, the time when you would be in the chair was the most important moment, wasn't it? A fellow who was about to be shot considers that each instant up to the moment when he is shot is terribly important. It must be stretched as long as possible. And so when he gets shot, while stretching these instants as long as possible, he boosts the consideration into present time for a long time to come. He makes a big postulate. He says, it's now when. And as he goes walking through life, he of course gets when. But boy, he knows there was a when. He is fully aware of the whenness of when. Time is described, it's dependent upon space and particles. It takes at least two particles to make time. And these two particles, in relationship to each other, move and change in position. And so we can plot time, if we consider there's space there, if we consider there's two particles there. Don't get trapped in this fact that because an automobile is traveling past a certain series of trees at 60 miles an hour, that there is an actual shift and change of position completely independent of considerations. But let's not just forget the mind and so forth and say mechanics, mechanics, mechanics. If we wanted to do that, we could go out here and study nuclear physics, and we too could blow up the little babies. Success. So, if you just keep looking at mechanics, 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 you see, and forget all about the fact that it requires criteria, observation, and perception to make mechanics in the first place. And we just keep on looking at pipe wrenches and pipes, and we keep on looking at machinery and the space and just divorce these things entirely from the idea that an idea can exist priorly and creative of them. We're just sunk right down into mechanics, and that itself is getting trapped. So a person recognizes that that's getting trapped, so they say, now look, this stuff is bad. And I'll give you the basis of Indian philosophy. This stuff is bad. Obviously, there's space out here and so forth, it's a trap. You have to resist this stuff. And the best thing to do with it is abandon it, and they all wind up about the size of billiard balls or something. See? Solid glass. You get the idea. See, the individual says, well, in view of the fact that thought is really senior to mechanics, therefore I'll stay with thought and I'll just leave these mechanics alone. That, of course, makes these things boss, because you're afraid of them. So we get the second effect of opening procedure 8C. You can touch them and they don't bite. You can move through them and you don't collapse. The other day, an auditor was processing somebody who isn't expected to live, and if he lives, why, fine. But he wasn't expected to live. But in the first session, the auditor had him touch the arm of his wheelchair and let go of it, and touch the arm of it and let go of it. Naturally, this fellow couldn't walk around, see. Touched the arm of it and let go of it. Did this about three times, and this fellow was getting more and more tense, more and more tense, more and more tense, and he all of a sudden said, the doctor said I'd die if I did this. Isn't that cute? Otherwise, there wasn't any reason for him to be sick. They'd been telling him he was going to die for one reason or another for enough years. If he just couldn't run around like that. He couldn't race around like that. Couldn't exercise like that. He couldn't do this like that. He couldn't use these mechanics because they'd kill him. Look, this happens to be impossible. A thought space energy production unit cannot be killed, particularly by the thought space and energy which it produces. So look at this big hooker. The doctors sit around and say, well, you mustn't touch this stuff. You mustn't touch this stuff. You mustn't touch this stuff. You've got to be afraid of it. Actually, your mama did the same thing to you. You went in and you experimentally fooled around with the front of the stove, and mama says, don't touch that. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Get away with it. I mean, stop it. It's dangerous. Don't walk on the back fence. Don't do this and don't do that. And the school's down here. They're busy educating kids. Don't run out in the street. Watch those automobiles. Be careful. Safety, safety, safety. In other words, be afraid of mess. And of course, if you can get scared enough of it, and then you'll try to run away from it. And listen, there is nothing to run in but mess. If you're going to go into running, remember that. So naturally, we can trap a person very, very neatly by telling him to lay off this stuff. It's dangerous. Actually, it can't be dangerous to a thing. A body has gone along as a living organism a certain distance, you see, and it's gotten itself into a vested interest. It's protecting and so forth. So, of course, it can be corroded and experience various manifestations and so forth. But that's just because it's sunk down that far into mechanics. It's been afraid of mechanics, and so now it's a mechanical gimmick. That's how it got that way. All right, so we asked this individual to go over and touch the wall. He knows he can't do this. He knows this is very murderous. Very, very curious. Even if he can touch it, he sometimes can't let go of it. I have had a preacher go over and put his finger against the wall and not be able to get his finger off. Particularly if I told him to pull his finger off the wall with his other hand. Now you talk about manifestations. Every manifestation there is in the opening procedure of 8C is the fact that individuals are afraid of the physical universe. They are trying to run away from the physical universe and run in the physical universe, since that's the only place there is to run in. They're not supposed to contact it, and quite in addition to that, they are up against this problem of when, and you were actually making them postulate new times all the time on their own determinism. Simply every time you touch the wall, they've had to postulate a new time. They will eventually do this on a self-determined basis. This is a very valuable process, but it is, you might say, a solid straight wire. There's the guy, there's the wall. You make him string a straight line between the two things. This is a very, very fine process. It tells people you can live in the physical universe. And that is really the total goal of the process. And individuals exteriorize and so forth, providing it is run long enough, and providing a two-way communication is maintained during the running of HC. Next week, when it comes around about this day, I will give you a very succinct dramatization of it and processing. But right now, that's all I want to teach you about it, actually. It tells when, and it tells when, where, and it tells, in addition to that, the pre-clear, that he can touch the physical universe and get away with it. We want to teach him that. We'll get him all over being afraid of mechanics, and so we'll make him free. The only thing that could enslave anybody is barriers. The only thing which messed is a series of mocked-up barriers. Okay? Are you beautifully confused?
No.
You're not?
No.
How did you get that guy to take his finger off the wall?
How'd you get him to? I just kept at him until he did. That's right. I just kept at him, made him pull at it and so forth. And the second he was through with that, touching the finger to the wall, and did get it off like that, finally got it off of the wall and so forth, he just stood there and shook. So I said, put your finger on that spot. No. But I chose the same spot. And so he did. And this time his finger just leaped. He would have died laughing here.
Yeah.
The other night was trying to get his hand off a chair. Am I right? During a group processing session, I swear to Pete, I thought he was going to break his wrist. It wasn't a strange manifestation at all. Sometimes a person will exteriorize, they'd be in a theta body. Ever hear one of these theta bodies? You know, they exteriorize and they're still in the body. It's real cute. They'll all of a sudden put a beam on the wall or touch one of these, quote, hands, unquote, to the wall. There's a paralyzed, right? There's many a fellow who has exteriorized at 2 o'clock in the morning because he's heard a lecture on the subject at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he simply backed out of his head to find out what was going to happen, backed out in some kind of a body, put a beam on the wall. And couldn't break it, got scared, went back into his head. 500 hours of processing later, the auditor's still trying to persuade him to get outside. He knows what'll happen to him if he gets out of his head. He knows. He'll stick to the wall. And you can get him over this rather easily. There's another process that goes along with this, which is things you could touch. One of the R2s, you just keep asking Brinkler for things he could touch. And very horrible things will happen to him. But as far as actual physical processing is concerned, HC is a terrific process, just as a process. Now, you know it mainly because it gets the pre-clear under your orders. And it does get him to do something you ask him to do. That you know it as principally. Remember that it is a process which tells him, look, you're not going to stick, faint, or die simply because you contact the physical universe. So therefore, you don't have to do it covertly, you can do it directly. You can do it, you can determine to do it, and do it. And you bring him up along that line, the next thing you know, why, you have freed him quite markedly. Okay, thank you very much for being so attentive.